Hello, I'm Veronica's Caresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
Time to go arty and go medallion gazing in the Sistine Chapel with Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis.
Breda, we are familiar with the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel because we've spoken about the creation on various occasions. But something we've never spoken about is something rather obscure, the medallions. Is that what you're going to speak to me about?
Yes. There are 10 of them, actually. They look like they're medallions struck in bronze. In a sense, in the past, the popes did cast medals in bronze, and they were given to the princes, let's say the cardinals of the church. So there could be some reference here, and I'm certain there is actually a reference to some papal function. Because generally in the Sistine Chapel, regardless of the fact that we're speaking of scenes which have been reproduced and painted elsewhere by different artists in different and also in different places, in the Sistine, every single thing seems to have some reference to the papal function, to the Pope, to salvation, and let's say the first step in the world in terms of salvation in as a figure is the Pope, who's the head of the church. So this is his Palatine chapel, and in it are many references to Peter and Peter, the rock on which he's building his church. The rock also being the world itself, and in the world itself you have also everything like water, metal and stone and every element that relates to creation. And obviously also bronze. So here you have these bronze medallions, there are 10 of them. Some people say that maybe they could stand for the 10 commandments. They deal essentially with struggles between factions, between, let's say, righteous rule and unwise rule. And they come from the books of Maccabees, the book from Genesis, from Samuel, and the book of Kings. So there are various things which relate to this struggle. And again, if you think of the chapel per se, there is the struggle. There is the struggle again also later on in the Last Judgment. But the function is the salvific message in Christianity is again related distinctly to this great struggle between good and evil and things that are right and things that are wrong, and the marvellous message at the end that there is this extraordinary, fabulous miracle for Christianity of salvation. So the medallions here, again, as you see, they're lovely, round, large pieces, which contrast very nicely also with the other marble-coloured elements of the thrones of the prophets on the ceiling. They're put in a setting where you're able to appreciate what's all around them as well. Each medallion has two nude figures each side. So it's almost like they're running silk through little holes in these medallions, and they're pulling them and making sure they don't fall or that they're kept upright in such a way that you can actually read and see the figures, the slight figures that are on the faces. One of the medallions, by the way, has nothing. It's blank. That's an interesting point. And there have been various theories, but nobody's ever really understood exactly why. The nude figures each side, again, are intimately related to these medallions because you see they pull the ribbons up from the medallion, and they're sitting on their little ledges, let's say, and they're pulling them, or they're pulling them over their head, or they're pulling them around them, or some of them have their feet caught in the ribbons holding these medallions. So it creates this lovely tension that Michelangelo is able to create in any work that he does. And again, the figures have different expressions. Some of these nude figures have their hair blowing one way or blowing another way. Some have more hair, some have less hair. Some have golden hair, some have brown hair. Some of them look like they're surprised. Some of them look like they're in a state of shock. But you always get the feeling that there's a kind of emotional involvement of the figures around these medallions that's very important for the, let's say, for the artistic part. Because we're always trying to appeal, I think the artist is always trying to appeal to the emotions of the observer. And what you're trying to do is to link, apart from the fact you're giving a message in the terms of the doctrinal sense here, you know, but you're trying to help the person understand what's there. And so the figures are in movement because you're in movement and you're thinking and you're looking and you're trying to interpret. And this lovely spirally love, this continuous movement, this continuous change of colour, this constant marble, this constant stone, this metal, this bronze, colours that tend to send their own messages as well. Again, I think there's a musical sense here. The different moods you get in a symphony, the different moods you get in a piece of good music, this constant contrast. And, I mean, we're moving away from our medallions, but I never thought a medallion would make me wax lyrical.
What composer would you pick as a comment for this?
Oh, that's a very lovely one. I hadn't thought about that. That's, I suppose, for these, I would pick Beethoven. Because I always get a sense of Beethoven when I look at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
A big thank you there to our Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, for sharing with us her expertise in the field of sacred art. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.